Good morning. Welcome to Stalag 13. No, that's not where we're at. We're at Republic Broadcasting. You're listening to Republic of Texas Radio. Today is March 24th, 2019. It's a little bit different than a comedic concentration camp in the fictitious Germany. Fictitious. Interesting, though, isn't it? Good morning, Alan. How are you doing?
I hear nothing. I see nothing. Don't involve me in this.
You're good. That's pretty good, man. You know, it's crazy the things of our childhood, the things that we were taught. You know, Hogan's Heroes was one of those shows I'd come home from school and watch in the afternoons. And I guess you told me that you actually saw it on primetime. Is that when you used to watch that show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when it was the first runs.
Oh, and do it in syndication, and we'd sit there. And I guess that's what I learned when I learned about Nazi Germany and the Holocaust and things like that. Was that the beginning young ages indoctrination happens early, I guess. And
it's amazing how they tell us stuff too, though, even back then. Because, you know, now that I'm a little bit more of aware of what's actually went on during that period, I remember, like, the episode where the Gestapo were bringing some special water through camp, you know, and it had to get to a certain place, and it had to be guarded heavily. And, you know, they're bringing heavy water through, which means that they were doing nuclear fission experiments, which means that the Germans probably did have the bomb before we did, and that's where we got it from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, is that true? Is that not true? Or is that what they were trying to indoctrinate us into believing? You know, because we look in retrospect over at the technology of the German people during World War II in that time frame and see what Hitler was working on, the German forces at least. And that was a lot of conventional warfare stuff. But we are told Germany at the time had dual technology programs. Wow, I didn't think we were going to go that way. And they worked on conventional stuff like jets and propeller planes, but they also had the secret programs, the Brotherhood of the Bell. What's his name? Igor?
Igor Vitkovsky.
Help me out there.
Igor Vitkovsky.
He talked about the weird thing. Right, you know, the anti-gravitational devices. So it's very fascinating what actually came out of, or didn't come out of World War II, don't you think, Alan?
Yeah, and, this all goes along with Project Paperclip and bringing all the Nazi scientists and everything over here. From what everyone can figure out, we got a lot of the actual scientists. The Soviets picked up a lot of the technicians and guys who actually built the things. So it was kind of on both sides working towards the same object. Who knows what goes on behind the scenes, really.
Yeah, and what we're told is we got a lot of the rocket scientists and whatnot and therefore, and we had this space program, right, and we were working on rockets beforehand, and they just grabbed all the rocket guys and brought them over here. Now, that was traditional technology, right? You know, probably started by the Chinese back in the day. You know, they've been doing fireworks since forever, and they were pretty dang good. But the Germans, they got it somehow. But I guess my point at this time is, what about the technologies that never got put into the general public? You know, you had Admiral Byrd at the time. The lore was Admiral Byrd was the first person to fly over the North Pole. His diary, per se, you know, if you were to believe that, there was a diary of Admiral Byrd, says that as he was flying over the North Pole, he was approached by a couple of UFOs. Well, they call them flying saucers or something. As to that, something
actually,
like
Steve,
that.
He was the first to fly over the North Pole, but he also it's when he flew over the South Pole that supposedly he found the entrance to the inner world down there in Antarctica. He was the first to fly over the North Pole. He was the first one to do that, I believe. But the South Pole, where all his adventures took place.
No, I would say he was the first to fly over the North Pole. And go ahead, caller, feel free to call in, and we'll straighten this out. But, you know, his flight over the North Pole was the first time that they started the Hollow Earth theory, right? Because the plane was approached by a couple, quote-unquote, flying saucers. Flying saucer episode, I guess. I didn't know Hogan's Heroes kind of matched in with that, but I guess it does. And these flying saucers had swastikas on. How about that? And whether you want to claim that it's the North or the South Pole, and the diary is the diary, and he was brought down to the center of the Earth, right? And he was saying the control of his plane was taken away from him. He was pulled down into the Earth, and then he was approached by some aliens or some people that didn't look like humans and said, hey, look, General Byrd, you need to go back to your people and say, tell them, stop playing with these nukes, right? They're detrimental to your entire society. We'll give you technology that's just way surpasses this, but you got to be good to the people. And they used their words, not mine. Whatever. So he flies back out and tells the, you know, government of the United States of America, to be cool and to ask for him.
Steve, you're breaking up, Steve. Yeah, it's there's something wrong with your mic or something. It's kind of choppy.
I make changes. How about that?
That's much
that better.
Yes.
Okay. So Admiral Byrd comes back to the corporate United States, tells the government, hey, be nice to the people, and they free you, and World War II ensues. Right? So, great. The part of the south, the Antarctic, right, the southern hemisphere, that comes into play is about 1957, I believe what you're referring to, Alan, is Operation Pegasus, where
Pegasus
a couple
and
of
high jump, yeah.
Pegasus and High Jump, where they went down out to look at penguins with a submarine, a couple aircraft carriers, and a bunch of bombers, and they were approached. And when they got down there, the Foo Fighters showed up in theory and lore, and they were, of course, more flying saucers? I don't know.
Yep.
The Germans
called it Neuschwabenland.
Neuschwabenland?
Neuschwabenland, yeah.
What does that mean? I don't know.
I knew something land. I forgot Schwaben. I forgot exactly what that word means.
Mm.
But it was their Antarctic base, and supposedly the German scientists said that they got this technology from someone else. They didn't actually say what. I don't know if they back engineered it or if they were actually given the technology supposedly for the anti gravity stuff. But that was the whole thing with the SS and General Galen and the Galen organization, which was the actual forerunner to the CIA, because it was General Galen who had the Galen Org, which was his network of spies all through Russia and the Eastern Bloc over there. So apparently that was part of the swap too. You know, it's supposedly the Nazis actually never did give up. You know, they didn't surrender, because the one that did the surrender was Admiral Dönitz, and he was the head of the submarine fleet, and he was not an actual member. The submariners were not actually required to be members of the SS party, of the Nazi party. So actually the German army might have capitulated and surrendered, but the Nazis actually never did, if you look at it technically.
Technically is kind of how you got to look at it, but that's the direction I didn't think about going. Hell, I'm not even thinking about going this direction. but we're here. My point is being the technology of the Germans, right? You know, we had the dueling technologies. We had the U.S. space program, right, where allegedly we put people up in a, you know, a sausage tube up into outer space and onto the moon. And, you know, they're walking around and, you know, Puff the Magic Dragon suits or whatever. And meanwhile, you know, I don't know. It's like, was there something else that they were holding back from us? Because, you know, they're always lying to us. They're always holding, you know, they're always holding something back. And, hey, Ken just said and reminded me, actually, that there are no fly zones in Antarctica still or today. But Antarctica is, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Ken, Antarctica is a place of wonder right now as the ice shelves have shifted and it's starting to peel back a lot of, you know, land and show us stuff that we've never really seen before. And in the woo-woo world, for sure, things are changing. You know, we may find out more of the dawn of humanity or something like that, but you'll never know.
You know, and this is what Joseph P. Ferrell, you know, writes so much about, you know, is the breakaway civilizations and things like that, you know, about this, and that it does, you know, involve the technology that is held by the few that they're not letting us know about, you know, the Bell experiments and the anti-gravity and various effects that fields that are created can produce on living tissue and et cetera, et cetera. Very interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know, I love radio, Alan, and that's one is it my shortcoming. No, I think it's one of my one of my redeeming qualities is I love the stories that are told. And Clive Lewis, he has this thing called the Underground Lounge, and it's a late night show, right? Usually or early morning, and he has this great sound. It's really dark. It's kind of like a show that. Beyond what they did, God, what was that show that I listened to in the 90s? God, help me out. Who was the first one to talk about aliens in the 90s on radio? Art Bell. Yeah, there he is. But Clive Lewis he's the best one out there right now. And he talks about woo-woo stuff. He talks about ghosts and goblins and, you know, flat earth and this and that. And last week he came on, the caller called, and the caller said to him, he says, you know, we're getting ready to launch a man into space or something like that. And he goes, well, we've already done that. And he goes, oh yeah, because we're thinking about going back to the moon like we ever did. And then Clive Lewis goes, of course we went to the moon. And I'm going, wow. Who are you to say that we already did? I thought you were the heir to the thrones of the woo-woo late-night talk show. You know, but he said it with such certainty. And so does, the traditional talk show hosts that are always right, like Rush Limbaugh. They know the thing, right? We absolutely went to the moon. Now, the moon technology was, you know, Operation Paperclip. Right, Alan? That's where we got the rocket scientists from there, and we launched the Saturn V. Those are probably plans that were drawn up in Nazi Germany. Any objection to that? You know, is that true, untrue, or possible?
Well, that is the technology that they put forward to us. You know, riding into space on top of a giant Roman candle. You know, with fire and stuff belching out the backside. Instead of using the secret technology that's not being told to us, and they just push a button and kind of float off in their own little gravitational well, if you want to call it whatever. That's supposedly how they can, you know, everyone's seen these UFOs that, you know, haul ass across the sky and then make a 90-degree turn, and everyone's saying, oh, that couldn't happen, but it did rip them apart. And I don't know, you know, we haven't been told everything. We've been lied to a lot, you know, with this technology, when it's used, does it create its own, basically, its own space-time continuum, if you want to, and enclosed in a gravity well, And that's how they can do those 90-degree turns at 20,000 miles an hour and not just mash everything that's inside. I don't know. There's a lot of possibilities out there, Steve. We've been lied to a lot.
I know. And that's kind of the the place that I'm going. I mean, we've been told about all this stuff, and, you know, to listeners of this radio show, we know it's about Texas and Texas independence, and don't equate that to craziness of, you know, talking about the woo-woo. You know, when we're talking about woo-woo, we're talking about the possibilities of the world. But we know that we've been lied to. We've been lied to for many, 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 many years. When did you first hear about Nikola Tesla? Right? Is that real? Is that not real? Oh, God, so many things were real there. You know, where's the rest of the Nikola Tesla stuff, guys? I don't know. Well,
no one in any of my physics classes or anything like that ever talked about them.
Oh, Les Voyages dash La Lune, right, is the first sci-fi movie, right? It was a Voyages to the Moon, and they used a gun to launch a bullet into the moon. Interesting that we did it a similar way, except we used jet propellants to get it there. I guess people could still get their mind around the fact that, you know, rockets worked and guns do, but who knows why they chose that method. Probably because the anti-gravity, you know, technology that the Germans were, you know, working on in World War II. I don't know, are they keeping that a secret? They don't have anything like that, Alan. Is that the way it is? Is that all? I don't know.
Well,
does it do it
just want us
to
believe?
To
I mean, if you think about it, Steve, all that time from, you know, after the Second World War, you know, we already knew their rocket technology was out there because, you know, the Germans were, you know, lobbing V-2s over, and the V-1 was actually not really a rocket. It was a buzz bomb. It had a what was the name of that engine that was on that? But it fluttered. It's like the flaps would open on front, and it would get air, and then when it went off, it would close the flaps on front, and the thrust would go out the back. Basically, just a small series of controlled explosions. That's why they called it a buzz bomb. But the V-2 was an actual chemical rocket, a liquid fueled rocket. So that technology was already out there to the public. But it was all the stuff that the SS had, you know, Otto Skorzeny and these guys, you know, Rome, you know, all these guys running around looking for the ancient technologies. You know, they were over in Egypt, you know, trying to dig stuff up, and in Iraq and all those places, looking for technology. Did they find it? I don't know. I do recall that when we went into Baghdad the first time, one of the first reports that came out was that the Antiquities Museum had been looted, and all kinds of stuff was slipped out of that museum, and who really knows what was down in there.
Yeah. Wonder if it went over to the secret collection of Zahi Hawass. You know, but I wouldn't know who the heck is Zahi Hawass anyway.
But, you know, all that time, though, Steve, you know, and all this technology, you know, especially with computers coming in, they were saying, oh, it's going to advance, you know, 100 years every month or whatever, you know, it would get quicker and quicker as the computers came in, they could crunch more numbers. And we're still sending people into space on top of a giant Roman candle?
Well, actually, it's more like a bottle rocket. Hang in there, folks. We'll be back in a few minutes. Republic of Texas Radio. It's Woo Woo Day, I think. It's in my head, the camera circles tell the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on its view. And I've witnessed it for the sun.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right. How's that? Is that breaking up? I think it sounds a little bit better, but I'm watching the chat room to see if it starts breaking up and, you know, yell at me, Ken or Alan, if things start going sideways. And I don't want to really break this line of thought, so I'm going to try to jump back to it. But I just wanted to say a couple words about we lost somebody that was kind of important to Texas and Texas independence last week, and I just wanted to put a shout out to him and say goodbye. His name was Richard Perkins. He was part of the Republic of Texas. He was actually the president of the Republic of Texas at one point and served for quite a bit. You know, he was a friend of a lot of people, and the world is definitely a lesser place without him, but, you know, man, we lose a lot of people. You know, when we were talking about Woo-Woo, and I'm talking about Richard Perkins, and a lot of the traditional technology had always filtered around the foreseeable stuff, right? We need a rocket to lift us up into the air, and your thoughts can't do that. But we have a basis on thoughts can do that, don't we, Alan? I mean, if I were to give you an example of thoughts matter, or is it vibrations matter? When you, in Japan, they say that the test of ice, you can sit there and think happy thoughts to ice, and it'll come out a very ugly, very bad fractally nature. Or if you think happy thoughts, they have really compact geodesic whatever crystalline forms. Isn't that a form of, you know, mind control to a certain extent, don't you think? Is that proof that thoughts matter?
Well, you know, Dr. Wynn Parker used to talk a lot about this, too. In fact, one of his first shows, he had that Japanese guy on that talked about water and what your, if you want to call it, focusing your intent on it could do exactly like what you were saying. You know, water reacts differently depending on how it is treated. or thought about.
Mm-hmm. Thought about,
yeah. You know, is it one of those things, Steve? Is it one of those things that they just, that, you know, part of our true abilities, you know, part of our junk DNA, that they used to call it, that we're not mm-hmm. trained, that is even possible to use, because from our childhood we're told that, nope, only way you're going to space is sitting on top of a giant Roman candle, and there's nothing else, and it's a height of technology, and science is finished, and that's it. You know, we're not told that there might be other possibilities out there. They've taken the inquisitiveness and the learning out of a majority of the population.
And when does that happen? You know, when I was a kid, I definitely remember the day, and it's stuck in my head, that I used to go out to this patch of ivy in my parents' front yard, and I'd fly across it until one day I realized that I couldn't fly, and then I fell face down in the ivy. You know, and it was like, wow, what was that? Is that just a stupid childish thing that thought? You know, they say that prayer, you know, right now, they're Cortez, right? You know, is under fire. Well, I guess she was under fire last week for, you know, complaining about people praying and their thoughts and their prayers for the people that allegedly died over there in New Zealand. Right? She says, oh, your prayers and thoughts don't matter. Like, oh, yeah? Really? Huh. I think they kind of matter an awful lot, and a lot of people would disagree, but obviously, well, I don't know what it's obvious anymore. You know, if she's just an actor, she might actually believe that thoughts and prayers, you know, matter. But
if you want to go along that route, you know, it's maybe all that Carlos Castaneda stuff wasn't just hooey after all, you know, because he talks a lot about you know, learning to focus your intent to achieve certain things that supposedly are unachievable. Like I said, we've been lied to a lot. You know, it's is it potential we have that we don't know how to use because we've been stupidly trained not how to use it? I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons why they would want to do something like that. But I don't know where the indoctrination starts and ends or anything like that. And I'm remembering the journey in my childhood, you know, where I learned that the world wasn't a magical place. It was set by these laws that other people gave me, and these laws keep changing the rules about, we can go up in these rocket ships, and then going, well, why do we need rocket ships? Oh, we don't know anything else besides rocket ships. And then in a few years, they'll go, oh, this is anti-gravity technology that we got a long time ago, and it'll be all, really? Yeah. I believe that.
They'll come out and say, you know, it's a brand new breakthrough. We just thought it up. You know, we haven't had this for 70 years. And it's interesting, Steve, that you talk about your childhood experience and when we change. I was going to mention, it's like, how many of y'all out there can remember, you know, when you were a kid having that dream? I can remember having the dream of, you know, standing up in my bed and start flapping my wings and flying around my room up near the ceiling. You know. When does those possibilities and that wonderment that, you know, could it be possible, you know, at a certain point in time, where basically, I guess, all of our intuition and, you know, and questioning are squashed somehow.
Right. Maybe they're squashed when a parent or an authority figure tells you no. Huh. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Republic of Texas Radio, we'll be right back, folks. Hang in there.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy.
I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com. Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right. We're going to start pulling this all together, you know. We might need little balls we can all put on our shelves and do whatever the heck we do with it. But first, let's go and tell you that we have a chat room. Come visit us, republicoftexas.chattango.com. That's just Republic of Texas, and Chattango is kind of like chatango.com or something like that. You'll get there. GFR is in there. He just dropped in a link to the to a neat little movie about water, right? The Great Mystery. Because we were talking about the woo-woo, and the funny thing about the woo-woo, and woo-woo is what I call the stuff that they don't want you to talk about on real technical newsy radio, because it gives us a, you know, oh, that's all about flat earth and aliens and all that stuff, right? But, Alan, don't you think it's a disservice by not even talking about that? You know, because where do you draw the line? Because, I don't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but, you know, Steve, that's where advancement comes from, is someone saying, wow, we could put this and this and this together and it'll do this, or we can put so much of an electric charge to this and this and that, and it'll float off the ground by itself. You know, run a high-voltage DC pulsed electric signal through a asymmetric capacitor, and you get anti-gravity effects. Is it possible? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they like to squash in us, because they tell you from the start, you know, it's like, no, that's just crazy, that's stupid, that can't work. You know, and so everyone, you know, it's just, oh, well, I just won't try that. And it's very mm-hmm. effective.
Remember when I met you first about 10 years ago, gas prices were close to $5 a gallon, and then all of a sudden they instantly dropped down to, like, whatever, $1.50. You know, you're like, what the heck just happened? I don't know. Were they that expensive here in Texas? Because that's when I got here, when it was a buck and a quarter, $1.50. You remember that
it was
time?
We got to about $4 a gallon here. Yeah, it was close to $4 a gallon here when it finally broke and started going back down.
At that time, there was so much talk, so much backyard R&D trying to find a great way to run an internal combustion engine on, that it was absolutely bonkers, right? Everybody was working on a carburetor of some sort to make it so we didn't have to buy this $5 a gallon stuff, right? And people would poo-poo you. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, you mean like an engine that runs on water, they'd say?
Like carburetors that have a different atomizing apparatus, and you can actually get 100 miles an hour on a gallon of diesel or gas. And from what I hear, the Japanese have cars over there that cannot be exported because they get like 80 miles a gallon over there or something.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's stuff everywhere, you know, and I'm positive. You know, there's been improvements, and they keep deproving them. You know, let's run them on corn or ethanol. Right, we'll knock it down a little bit, you know, because ethanol is an inferior fuel for it. But then that's just still playing with bottle rockets and people going to the moon. You know, the fact is that there's talk of what, zero point energy, and everybody goes, no, you can't pull energy from nothing. You tell them, well, perhaps there's energy all around us, and all we have to do is tap the energy all around us. And they go, oh, now that's silly stuff. That's silly stuff. And you go, but why is it silly if we just don't know what's going on and we're kept in the dark? That's how they enslave us, is through the power construct. You know, they priced gasoline so high back in 2008, 2007, 2006, in that time frame, that they almost screwed the pooch. They've been working really hard to unscrew that pooch. You know, they had Barack Obama kill every car I can project, where, you know, anybody and their brother could buy a Chevy as long as they brought the car into the dealership and they destroyed the motor and they got it off the road. Hey, that's why we're having such a hard time with used cars.
Those old motors that people could actually work on, not the new ones where you have to take it to some kind of an electrical engineer or a mechanical engineer or something to even work on the daggum thing and have to have a big computer system to diagnose everything. Yeah, it's think about it. Yeah, if they actually let us have something like what T. Townsend Brown and those, you know, guys like that came up with, you know, where you could just go and, you know, plug your washing machine into this little shoebox and, you know, you'd have everything you needed, you know, plug your air conditioner into it, it'd keep you cool, and, you know, you never have to pay Rothschild anything for his energy sources again. That would make us truly free, and energy is one of the main ways they enslave us. You're right.
Energy and television. It's just a wonderful waste of time, and I hate to go back and start hearkening on that, but when you think about it, the distraction community, right? Hollywood, all these movie producers, what are they doing? They're showing you visions, and then they quickly shift, right? So let me give you a vision, right? Energy moves from one planet to another planet, right? And that's because each one of those have a different electrical charge. And so energy is constantly moving from one to the other. That can be seen by the waves of, and maybe I'm wrong, if you got a differing view for why all this is happening, or you can explain gravity to me, or energy to me, for that, you know, respectfully, call it 1-800-313-9443. The moon moves over us, and it causes high tides and low tides. If we can just get in between that sucker and grab the energy. But we can't have that discourse because everybody's busy doing what? They're watching TV shows, they're busy paying taxes, working, sitting in front of a cash register. Really? When is going to be this wonderful time where we're all free? You know, I don't know. I don't know if we're all
going to be. They keep energy prices, Steve. It's like, you know, when the gas went up so high and then they drop it back down. And it'll go up and it'll drop back down. They keep it right at that point where it drains us, but it's not such a drain that we can't do it.
but it takes a lot of our, you know, monetary resources that we could use for other things to put in our car so we can drive to work, so we can do the 8-to-5 rat race, so that we can continue to produce for them and be so distracted that we can't think about making that 100-mile-an-hour gallon carburetor. And if they do make it, well, then you try to patent it, and the patent office is owned. And they come and they visit you, and they say, no, that's a bad idea, that 100-mile-an-hour-gallon carburetor. You don't really want to do that, do you? Yeah.
And there's the greed model. How many inventors have you ever heard that they bring them on stage and they say, hey, look, so-and-so inventor just invented free energy. And he goes, yeah, and you're going to get it. And my patent's in the patent office. And as soon as I get the patent, I'm going to be rich. And then the crickets go off for years because he was greedy. Right, it's like, well, I want to profit from this, and I get it. You want to profit from this, and your work should be subsidized, right? I mean, well, okay.
And it is subsidized in a way, Steve. They go in and they say, "We'll give you $10 million to not ever do this again, not ever talk about it again." And
subsidize is the wrong word. I guess it is subsidized sometimes, right? That's how they manipulate science. But it should be compensated, is what I'm trying to get with.
Mm-hmm.
But what about these landmark things, right? The total freeing of humanity, right? Not the socialist freeing of humanity, right? Where they take from everybody and give to whoever they want, right? It's different. It's like, I invented a little doohickey, and you can put the doohickey in anything, and it'll run for free. Look at that clock. It'll run forever, right? You know, wow, that's great. Yeah, it's the last clock you'll ever need to buy, unless you want to buy a new one, right? Oh, how neat is that? You can be off the grid. What would that free? Would that make people completely lazy? Or maybe they'll, I don't know.
Maybe it would open our minds up. It would give us the ability to have that spare time so that we could think again, Steve. Right now, everyone's running a rat race so hard, both parents, that no one can sit and think and have a moment's actual internal thought for themselves to try to think up any new technology.
But they try to scare people with that, Alan. You know, the fear factor comes in. It's like, well, Alan, if you brought in your free technology, then the entire grid would collapse. All the equipment that is everywhere would collapse. Jobs would be lost, you know, the whole everything. And you go, well, so we'll never move on. Is that it? And we never move on?
Some of it's actually even in front of us, Steve. They just don't tell us about it. You think about, say, an FM radio signal. If you have a broadcaster, a transmitter, and you put out you put 10 watts, say, putting a radio signal out there into the atmosphere, and you got 10 people out there that have antennas up that happen to tune into your station, and when it hits the right part on that coil, a little spark of electricity is able to jump through that coil and go through the system and get amplified, and you pick up that radio signal and it's reproduced as auditory waves to us. Now that's with 10 people out there. Now, if there's 1 million people out there listening to that same radio signal, if there's 1 million people around that radio, and they've all got antennas up, and they all tune into that station, every one of them gets that little spark of electricity that starts the process of going through the system and being amplified, and everyone hearing what that radio signal is broadcasting. It does not take any more power. It doesn't take anything more than 10 watts to broadcast to 10 people as it does to 1 million people. Okay, there's no more power input on the input side. Yet, if you took the energy that was created by every one of those little tiny sparks that every one of those million antennas started out with, it would be way more power than the 10 watts that's being input into that signal to create it. So that's basically an over-unity system right there. It's just a kind of a sloppy collection, a way to collect it and amplify it, because there has to be 1 million antennas out there. So that is an example of an over-unity device. It's just we're not told that that's what it is.
Oh, I don't know the math. I don't know. It'd be interesting if you actually could calculate that. You know, I can't. I definitely can't, but I guess we don't really...
Calculus was my downfall, too, so I don't get that deep into math, but I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that love all those numbers floating around up in the air that could figure that out.
Well, we got a caller on the line. Let's see if we've gone too sideways for our folks out there. Ken, go with Jerry. Hey, Jerry, what's going on, man?
More of the same, you know. I've got my BS degree, and one of these
really?
Days I may get my PhD.
Your PhD in BS?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's piled higher and deeper.
Yeah,
you like that one, huh?
Yeah,
very
full of BS.
No. I'm the one that's that category. You know, interesting about your FM analogy. I just recently got my ham radio license, and you know, each ham shack, as they call them, is a standalone entity. So we don't have to depend on the infrastructure to be able to communicate with one another. We don't need cell phone towers. We don't need transmitting towers other than what we put up. And some of them are just a wire antenna that's strung between trees that's connected to your radio. We've got a tuner. But when I was a young'un, my folks bought me a crystal radio. About the size, are y'all old enough to remember the little transistor, pocket transistor radio? Walkman
is. They use a germanium crystal, yeah.
Yeah, they bought me one for Christmas. And all I had to do is find me a good metal ground to pick up the electricity from the air and ground it, you know, or vice versa. They pulled the ground electricity. You know, from the earth, and I could pick up AM radio stations local. I grew up just north of Boston, outside of Round Rock, and I didn't have to depend on batteries or anything else. So the technology's out there, albeit simple. One way we can emit the oil industry, the energy industry, and the bud, in the immortal words of Barney Fife from Andy Griffith, is if we start to be like the chickens do, go to roost when the sun comes down, goes down and get up when the sun comes up, we wouldn't have to be so dependent on so much of the energy that's being that they produce out there.
Sure.
You know, that's
true,
the way they
did it. But then the way the controllers see it is that's lost productivity that their slaves could be working. So, you know, that's why the light bulb was invented and et cetera, et cetera. I can remember my uncle telling me we had this old 1948 Ford 8-in tractor, you know, and it was great when they got it. You know, he says he remembers the day they delivered it. And then my opa, my grandfather, went and got a light kit for it. And my uncle was like, well, it was kind of neat having that, but then that meant that we had to work after dark, too. So.
Up to production. I wanted to, one of the main reasons I called, y'all were talking last week about the ranchers and farmers out in your area that, you know, the way that they had to produce so much in livestock and crops. We're caught in this vicious circle. And it's in every industry, not just in ag, it's in retail, it's in manufacturing. Increase your market share. Increase your market share. It's not good enough anymore to make a comfortable living. You've got to show an increase. Why? You know, if I get 3 squares meals a day and enjoy simple comforts, why do I really want to increase my income where I've got to pay more taxes, property taxes? That's one reason the farmer and rancher have to hold down second jobs. counties dictate, if you're running livestock, you got to have so many heads of sheep or goats or cattle or acre ratio. Okay.
Jerry, we've got the music coming up. We'll be right back. Jerry's going to finish up what he was talking about on the other side, Republic of Texas Radio.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Republic of Texas Radio. Sorry, my brain got a little bit distracted. Man, those are some kids up there. It's amazing, Jerry, how loud they get when you want to talk, don't you think?
These are goats, kid goats, chickens, guineas, pigs. Let me, if y'all bear with me, I'll try to talk for a second and get a couple of these mamas sorted out, and I'll try to multitask here. That's a chore for me. But anyway, the deal is...
Play with the kids for a second. Jerry, as a rebuttal to what you were just saying, you know, I get it. The county is sitting there pushing the farmers to have more head on their thing, or they're changing the rules, or how much you got to work, and things like that. But I'll tell you what. The thing that's pushing the county is actually, it's the people in the county. And the people in the county are being pushed by what? They're being pushed by the media, the news, the paper, and things like that. That's pretty, you got metal gates. That's neat. I found out this week that somebody's going around town, or the one of my buddies here in town had the city ordinance guy come visit him and say, "Hey, I see you've got your sign out, man. You know, I wish I didn't have to come over here and tell you about this, but man, there's a whole bunch of people calling me and saying that, you know, you guys have that sign out there, and I can't have you having this sign out here. I'm going to lose my job." And he says, "Well, for some reason, everybody in town is complaining about everybody else's signs." Right? So is that the Hegelian dialectic? You know, somebody told these people to complain, and now we have sign ordinances. I don't know. So problem, reaction, solution on that end. It's a mess, Jerry. I don't know what to say.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, and it's fine. It's fine. You can do it some, but you just don't do it in my backyard. Mentality, a lot of that. Are you going to affect my property valuation if you do this or do that? We all got to stand in a row, keep our heads folded in front of us, and take one step forward as the line moves forward. I don't know.
What all of that has done, Jerry, all these property values and everything going up, you know, that's great for the people, you know, who bought, like, lots in town, and they're buying it for speculation, you know, because they're going to buy it for $10,000, and, you know, now in Fredericksburg you can turn around and sell it for $250,000. But what that does to the farmers and ranchers out there in the hinterland is who don't want to sell their property, it makes their life that much more hell. Because, you know, property values go up, it's like, well, great, you know, it's like that's more taxes for me. I don't ever plan on selling my property.
Well, that's what they did in California. I did that in California. What was it, Proposition 13 or something, where the property values got so out of
yeah,
proportion that, you know, there's a young lady here, I say young lady, she's probably in her 50s, 60s, maybe my age, in South Austin. This was, it's been within the last 10 years. She's a self-confessed hippie. You know, she said, I'm a fire child. I bought this little bungalow down on Manchac Road somewhere, and South First. And she said, "I bought this little bungalow." She said, "I'm an artist. I paint and I make all these trinkets and what have you. And every time the city come through, or the school want to raise property taxes for this bond election and that bond election, I vote yes." She said, "Now my property tax obligations is $1,800 a month. I can't afford to live here anymore." She created her own demise, I guess would be a word, so poor as I was. She said, "I can't afford to live here and not do what I like to do." I find it interesting, just a tidbit to the listeners. There was one of these investor consultants that comes on Cal BJ on Saturdays, and I don't remember what his name is, but somebody called in on bond elections, school bond elections particularly, investing in those, and he said, you know, it depends on what you do. He said, "Bear in mind, on those bonds, when they're sold in a school district, if the school district gets in dire straits so far as money is concerned, the bond holders get paid first, teachers second."
Yep.
I thought, it goes around country, and you're the other ones that lobby for all these bond elections so they can have bigger, nicer Taj Mahals, you know, keep up.
They're not really teachers, are they?
I don't know what they are, but